This is a commercial-free, streaming on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
Somebody once said, life is fragile like a raindrop on a lotus leaf, and it can just drop at any moment.
On November 29th, 2001, that raindrop came splashing down when George Harrison passed away at the age of 58 from cancer. Often referred to as the Quiet Beatle, George was very private and probably wouldn't want anyone to make a fuss over his passing. But his good friend Eric Clapton had other ideas.
All I wanted to do was really share our love for George and his music with the people. You know, I don't really like talking about this because I can't avoid the emotion, you know, because I miss him terribly. And I'd like to be remembered in this way with a bunch of people that I love playing George's songs. I mean, they're evergreens, you know.
With that, Eric reached out to Olivia Harrison for her blessing in organizing a concert in her husband's memory. But unlike so many other tribute shows that tend to include whoever happens to be in town on the day of the event, artists influenced by the person they're paying tribute to, or a record label or manager trying to give exposure to an up-and-coming artist, Eric knew who he wanted to be there.
I had no idea how big it should be, but it kind of took shape very quickly, and thought the Albert Hall would be good, and it was easy to pick the people, because there was a definite group of people that were always involved in George's life at one stage or another, and came and went.
And among the definite group of people who were always involved were Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Billy Preston, Jim Keltner, Tom Petty, Gary Brooker, Ravi Shankar, and Jeff Lynne.
George deserved to have all his music played and recorded in just one night, a big special night of that. And because he's got so many great songs, and they should be there showcased. And, you know, it's his life's work.
Held on the one-year anniversary of George's death, November 29th, 2002, the concert for George has just been reissued in celebration of what would have been George's birthday on February 25th. It's now been released for the first time on streaming platforms, as well as on four 180-gram audiophile albums featuring a special mandala design etched on side 8. This is the first time that all songs from the concert have been made available. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. For the next hour, we'll take you on stage and off as we revisit this historic concert with help from Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, Billy Preston, and of course, George Harrison. So as you take your seat inside London's Royal Albert Hall, stepping up to the microphone is Eric Clapton.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for coming. We're here to celebrate the life and music of George Harrison. This is a blessed occasion for me because I can share my love of George with you. And I think most important of it all is that his wife Olivia and his son Danny can experience and witness how much we loved him through his music tonight. So thank you for coming again.
Welcome to Concert for George Revisited All Access.
If I needed someone to love, you're the one that I've been thinking of. If I needed someone, if I had some more time to spend, then I guess I'd be with you, my friend. If I needed someone, some other day, and it might not have been like this, but you see now I'm too much in love. Of your number
Originally recorded in 1965 for the Beatles' Rubber Soul, that's Eric Clapton at the Concert for George doing If I Needed Someone.
That song, I tell you about that song, it was just purely based upon that Rickenbacker 12-string sound. As the Byrds were influenced by the Beatles, so we were influenced by the Byrds, you know, and they had that album out after Tambourine Man. And that's what I wrote that from, an idea of doing that kind of thing.
While Eric Clapton led the band that night, he had to restrain himself from wanting to sing every song.
There's so many of his songs that I'd want to do myself. Give Me Love and Isn't It a Pity and songs of that ilk that I love the most, because they're just straightforward love songs, spiritual love songs.
And when it came to singing Give Me Love, that task went to Jeff Lynne, as he discussed backstage that night in 2002 at the Royal Albert Hall.
I like all George's music, love all of it, and I got in quick and chose the ones I wanted.
Give me love, give me love, give me peace on earth. Give me life, keep me free from earth. Give me hope, help me cope with this heavy load. Trying to touch and reach you with heart and soul.
His take on George Harrison's second number one single, Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth, as performed at the Concert for George here on All Access.
While the majority of the performers that night were seasoned veterans, there was one newcomer, George's son, Danny Harrison.
I thought I was going to do like two songs, and then Eric said, well, you can't just be coming on and off all the time. You're either in or out, so I'm in, and end up doing the whole thing. I thought I was going to get to sit and relax and watch the show and enjoy it.
Isn't it a pity? Isn't it a shame? How we break each other's heart and cause each other pain. How we take each other's love without thinking anymore, forgetting to give back. Isn't it a pity?
Billy Preston.
Some things take so long, but how do I explain? When not too many people can see we're all the same. Because of all their tears, their eyes can't hope to see the beauty that surrounds them. Isn't it a pity? Each other pain, and because of all their tears, their eyes can't hope to see the beauty that surrounds them. Isn't it a pity? We'll be right back.
Preston.
Eric Clapton started it and Billy Preston finished it. That was Isn't It a Pity from the Concert for George, which has just been reissued in numerous configurations in celebration of George's 75th birthday on February 25th.
George took the title from a road case in the garage.
We'll find out what Tom Petty is talking about when the Concert for George Revisited All Access returns.
Music for the 8-track generation. People who don't need fast forward or rewind. Just play.
On WBPM.
Welcome back to the Concert for George Revisited All Access. George Harrison is one of the few artists who can lay claim to having achieved success in three different incarnations. As a member of the Beatles, on his own, and as Nelson and then Spike Wilberry in the Traveling Wilburys, his side project with Bob Dylan, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty.
The Traveling Wilburys happened more because we were friends. We had kind of, you know, in this weird world of Los Angeles, drifted together in a kind of a social way, you know, and it wasn't like a music business plan to put all these people together and make a band. It was very organic, and we actually did it and made the record without telling anyone or even having a record deal. So those were great years.
George Harrison.
Well, writing, yeah. The funny thing is, because there's this kind of attitude takes place, where, especially because of Bob. You know, Bob's attitude is, you know, you can do anything. And there's a lot of things when you just wrote these songs with the Wilburys, then you realize, well, we just need a rhyme, you know. But it's brilliant. Tom is great to write lyrics with as well. He's really good. And Jeff, of course, has always got a chord or a little riff or some idea. It's brilliant because there's just so many ideas.
It was really George's band. You know, it was George's concept, and it was George that had the energy to make it happen. George was going to make a B-side for a single. And as the song progressed, it turned into something much greater than just a B-side, and the song was called Handle With Care. George took the title from a road case in the garage that had Handle With Care written on it. You know, it's like, what are we going to call this? Handle With Care.
Adorable, the pity you're adorable, handle me with care.
Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne, two-fifths of the Traveling Wilburys, with an assist from the Heartbreakers doing Handle With Care at the Concert for George. That 2002 show has just been reissued in numerous configurations, including vinyl as well as digitally, in celebration of George's birthday, February 25th.
Say you will when you won't.
While it was Paul McCartney who befriended 15-year-old George Harrison and introduced him to John Lennon in 1958, it was Ringo Starr who would become George's closest friend in the Beatles. And taking part in the Concert for George was very cathartic for the drummer.
It was a great way of getting some closure, because we could laugh and cry about, you know, different moments in our lives with George had touched it. So I loved it, actually. It was really helpful and healthy for me.
Please welcome Ringo Starr.
Star and Photograph, a song he wrote with George Harrison all those years ago, here on the Concert for George Revisited, All Access. If there was one performer on stage November 29th, 2002 at London's Royal Albert Hall who worked with George the most following his days in the Beatles, it was Billy Preston. Harrison not only produced some of Billy's albums, but Billy returned the favor by playing on 5 of George's 10 studio discs, as well as touring with him in 1974. Here's Billy backstage shortly after the curtain came down on the concert for George.
It was like heaven, man. It was really a buzz and a joy for everybody to be there, you know, and for George, his spirit was there with us, and it was just, man, it was just, I'm still buzzing from it. I mean, when the confetti came down at the end, it was like, you know, man, it's hard to hold back the tears, you know? But it was, everybody was there supporting Olivia and Donnie, you know, so it was a great night.
My sweet Lord, ooh, my love, my sweet Lord, I really wanna see you, I really wanna be with you, I really wanna see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my love, my sweet Lord, my Lord, oh, my Lord, I really wanna know you, I really wanna go with you, I really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
Hallelujah.
I really wanna see you. I really wanna see you. I really wanna see you, Lord. I really wanna see you, Lord. But it takes so long, my Lord.
Lord, hallelujah,
oh my Lord,
hallelujah,
The late and forever soulful Billy Preston, Do My Sweet Lord, which he actually recorded and released before George Harrison, having done it on his 1970 album Encouraging Words, co-produced by Harrison. Slow hand shows a firm hand when the Concert for George revisited All Access returns after this.
Hi, this is George Harrison, and we'll be coming back in just a minute.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
On air at 92.9 FM. Online at 92.9WBPM.com. And on smart speakers. Just say play WBPM. This is your station for the biggest hits of all time. We're everywhere. 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back to this exclusive presentation, Concert for George Revisited, All Access. I'm Dan Neer. George Harrison's birthday is February 25th. He is no longer with us on this spiritual plane, but his wife Olivia says, quote, "We will always celebrate George's birthday, and this year we're releasing the Concert for George in a very special package in memory of a special man," unquote. The All-Star Concert celebrating George's life and career was held on November 29, 2002 at London's Royal Albert Hall under the direction of Eric Clapton. Here's Olivia.
Eric said to me, you know, you really should come to the rehearsals every day. And I walked in the first day and I heard them singing, Isn't It a Pity? And it was very tough for them and very tough for me. And all the stories that were going back and forth, I think, enlightened everyone. Everybody got to know George a little bit better during those weeks.
Eric Clapton.
He was an incredible songwriter, and I was given the job of assigning songs to people for that event, and All Things Must Pass, I wanted Paul to do. He wasn't that aware of the song, and you know, he wasn't mad about doing it, but then we did it.
Sunrise doesn't last all morning. A cloudburst doesn't last all day. Seems my love is up and has left you with no warning. It isn't always gonna be this great. All things must pass. All things must pass away. My love is up and must be leaving. It isn't always gonna be this great. All things must pass. All things must pass away. Face another day. Now the darkness only lasts nighttime. In the morning it will fade away. The daylight is good at arriving at the right time. It is an
all things must pass away.
That's Paul McCartney from the Concert for George and All Things Must Pass, the title track to George Harrison's first post-Beatles album. Here's Paul from the after-show party that night at the Albert Hall.
It was sensational. It was really very magical, and, you know, it was like a privilege, all of us coming together for George. It was very beautiful, and I realized that if this hadn't happened, I would have never probably learned All Things Must Pass and sung it. You know, something like this had to happen to make me do that, and I'm very grateful for the whole evening for making me do that. It was sensational, man.
While George wrote some beautiful songs with wonderful melodies, they weren't the easiest to learn. Tom Petty.
He had a lot of really interesting chords, you know. He used augmented and diminished chords a lot. He called them the naughty chords.
George Harrison.
The naughty chord. Well, I don't always stick them in. I mean, there was a period when I started getting paranoid about it. You know why? That chord comes in all music from the 20s, 30s, 40s. You know, a musician would understand what it is, but it's actually called a diminished chord, although I have been known to use the augmented as well. But this one, I thought of it, I just call it the naughty chord, because it's always, you know, you can't often find that's the chord I need, you know, sometimes. Because I grew up with hearing Hoagy Carmichael, you know, a lot of those old 20s and 30s songs which have that. I mean, you just use whatever chords you want.
Oh, yeah, what a night. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for Olivia and Danny for inviting us all. Sometimes if you go around to George's house after you'd had dinner, the ukuleles would come out. And one time, not so long ago, we were playing, and I said, there's a song I do on the ukulele, and I played it for him, play it for you now. It's a tribute to our beautiful friend.
Hey. Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me, I don't want to leave her now. Well, you know I believe in now. Somewhere in a smile she knows that I don't need no other lover. Something in a style that shows me I don't want to leave her now. Well, you know I believe in now. Well, you're asking me who my love for. I don't know. I don't know. Well, you stick around now, it may show.
Eric Clapton and Paul McCartney with a unique version of Something, as captured in 2002 at the Concert for George. Another one-off performance from that night was Eric, Paul, and Ringo, along with the band, performing what they recorded in the studio 34 years earlier. Here's Eric recalling the session for While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
The most important thing I remember about that session and the other stuff I saw around them was how funky it was. They made records in the most liberated way I'd ever seen. They just did whatever they felt like, and there was an incredible freedom to their approach to making records. There was nobody governing anything. There was no kind of censorship. They just did what felt right. And that was really liberating to see.
Look, can you all see the love there that's sleeping while my guitar gently weeps? Look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping. Still my guitar gently weeps.
Eric Clapton making his six-string wail on While My Guitar Gently Weeps from the Concert for George, recorded November 29th, 2002, the first anniversary of George Harrison's death.
I think he's very much here. You know, I actually thought that he'd probably say, you know, thanks very much, Eric, but I don't really want this, you know. I mean, that's kind of George I knew would be. It could be very contrary, you know. And just when you think you were doing him a huge favor, he'd kind of say, oh, actually, that's not what I want at all. You never really knew whether he was 100% satisfied. But I thought, well, what would I say if he said that? And I thought, well, I'm doing this for me, actually. And that's more to the truth of it, is that I need to do this for him, in a way. But it is for me, most of all. I need to be able to express my grief in this kind of way.
And while George's spirit was hovering over and inside the Albert Hall that night, we'll never know exactly what he thought. Or do we?
And that was the perfect idea. You get a little audience, you record it so that you can do it good and mix it later. You have all your best pals on there being groovy and making it interesting. I mean, if I had a special, I'd like to, you know, have a few people who mean something to me.
Concert for George has been reissued by Kraft Recordings, a division of the Concord Music Group, in celebration of George's 75th birthday on February 25th. It's now been released for the first time on streaming platforms, as well as on 4 180-gram audiophile albums featuring a special mandala design etched on side 8. This is the first time that all songs from the concert have been made available. For more information, go to concertforgeorge.com. Concert for George Revisited All Access was produced by Near Perfect Productions for Kraft Recordings, a division of the Concord Music Group. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. We'd like to thank Olivia Harrison, Danny Harrison, and the Harrison Estate, and our special guests, Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Billy Preston, and of course, George Harrison.
Hi, this is George Harrison.
And I'm Dan Meir. Thanks for listening.